You're listening to Fred Nation on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Fred Fowler and Greg Frank.
We are back on a very busy Thursday afternoon in the world of sports. He's Fred Fowler. I am Greg Frank. We're going to go out to the Progressive guest line now and talk some Masters as we bring on Ryan Ballingy. I hope I got that right, Ryan. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah, you did it.
Okay, good. I did it right. The owner of Golf News Net. And obviously, the Masters are underway. Ryan, obviously, we have to start with Tiger Woods. He's almost through his front nine, and it seems like so far so good for Big Cat.
Yeah, kind of in awe, to be honest. I mean, he's played a very tight round of golf, not really ever in any kind of significant trouble. He's been laser-like off the tee. Been playing a very manageable, controlled game so far, and he's one under par, one off the lead, and I don't think anybody, even in their wildest dreams, would have thought about saying that a few weeks ago, much less a few days ago.
Yeah, and I was going to ask just kind of what you were saying about Tiger a few days ago. I suppose the realistic expectations were to make the cut and play the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, he's never missed the cut in this tournament as a professional. He missed it once as an amateur in 1996, and of the four majors, this is the easiest cut to make. I mean, there's 91 players in the field, top 50 in ties get to the weekend. You got to be about 40 people. And if you think historically about the Masters, amateurs don't win, old guys don't win, a bunch of first-timers don't win. So he really doesn't have to beat that many players, statistically speaking, to get to the weekend. So that seemed reasonable. And maybe a top 20 would be an incredible achievement. And now, obviously, expectations have kind of changed pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's for sure. We were just talking before we had you on about what number, and whether it's Tiger or somebody else, what number we think will be good enough to be the 18-hole leader. Where do you come down on that?
I think right now 68 is probably it. It's not going to get easier from here. The golf course is going to dry out a little bit. We had a 30-minute weather delay this morning, and it's been pretty soft. But the sub-air system underneath the greens at Augusta National, just having breeze and sun, is going to dry out the golf course a bit. But it's also going to get windier throughout the rest of the day, and certainly tomorrow and Saturday is going to be windy. So it's not getting easier, but at least for the rest of the day today, I don't see it getting any softer or any better for these players. So I think 68 is a great score.
Yeah, and I did want to ask you about the conditions. Just as far as those conditions you mentioned, are there any golfers in particular whose games might be a little more conducive to those?
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin Niemann's playing great golf right now. Mm-hmm. He's in the same group as Tiger. He's someone I like to head to the tournament. Kind of fits one of those, if you're kind of a funnel system of who you would like to bet on in this tournament, Joaquin Niemann fits that funnel. He has a really low ball flight. He controls his ball flight really well. Also hits the ball really far, even despite having that low ball flight. So he's someone that could handle the wind pretty well. He won at Riviera earlier in the year in Tiger's tournament at Riviera. Riviera is often one of those courses in the golf community we think of as a good indicator of success for Augusta National. So if anybody, he's probably one of the standouts I'm thinking about right now.
Ryan Ballingy joining us here on the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Ryan, when it comes to some of the other big names in the field, we're seeing Cameron Smith right there with Tiger at one under par. He's been a rising name over the course of the last 1 to 2 years. And obviously, some of the other guys, Justin Thomas is on the golf course right now, teeing off later today. Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, a bunch of guys that are in that afternoon slate. Anybody of the top choices really stand out to you about somebody that's going to be there on Sunday?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think all of them have a notable flaw, either with current form or they don't close enough or they're too wild off the tee like Cameron Smith. There's a reason not to like all of them. There's just as much, there's a lot of reasons to like them. But Cam Smith got off to a bad start, double bogey on the first, has battled back with three strokes under par since. He's on the right side of par, which is a pretty impressive comeback on the front side. We'll see how he does on the back. I think about Dustin Johnson to a degree. He feels like he's found something with the final round of the Players and a really good run at the WGC match play. He's a past champion of this event, so that certainly means something. I'm always kind of reluctant to look at Rory McIlroy to win here or any major. It's been 8 years since he's won a major.
Wow.
And I think about John Rahm and Justin Thomas, really good players. But as I talked about earlier, they gain a lot of strokes in the field. They just don't close a whole lot or as often as you maybe think for how good that they are. So, and Justin Thomas in particular has never really done a whole lot in this golf tournament. So of the favorites, I think DJ, I think Cam Smith, and I think John Rahm.
You know, I'm curious, as somebody that's covered the sport for a while, what would you say about the way the golf course has changed at Augusta? Is it kind of once you know it, you continue to – I mean, we've seen some guys – you know, I think Webb Simpson was kind of one of my sleepers because he isn't playing well coming in, but he's finished in the top 24 straight Masters. So you see some guys like that where they just develop a level of comfort with the golf course. Jordan Spieth right away at Augusta tied with a second and then a first, and he should have won the year after. I'm just curious – what you make of the golf course as a whole, how it's changed over the years, and, you know, because it's the one major that's played at the same golf course every year. So what do you think just about Augusta National and, you know, the way it plays now versus 10, 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think in the modern era, in the kind of the Tiger era, so to speak, the Masters has evolved from what used to be a putting contest to more of a ball-striking contest. The golf course is about as long as they're going to see on the PGA Tour every year. They have plenty of opportunity to kind of play the golf that they want to play, but they have to play really precise golf to score. And that's not something that's ever really changed about Augusta, but now it seems much more apparent because this golf course used to be so shocking to players because the greens were so fast. Well, we have fast greens everywhere now. It's not as big us on this golf course, particularly on the greens. Then it's a shocker. Then it's a panic situation, and that's still true. But now it doesn't feel quite as much like a contest about luck. It feels about a contest about much more about skill. And I think that's probably only enhanced the reputation of the Masters. But and I think that this golf course is still very gettable. You can add as much length as you want to it. But when you have someone like Joaquin Niemann, who's what, 5'8", 150 pounds, who has a 360 off the tee, that's the example of the power that's out there. You don't have to be big. You don't have to be muscular. You just have to have speed. And that's a big determining factor in how well you're going to do in this tournament. But whether you like this golf course or not, it's pretty apparent right away whether you're going to like it, whether it suits your game. And there's been some big players over the years whose games just don't line up. But for every Spieth, there's a Martin Keimer. But on average, though, we think about Masters champions, they win in their sixth or seventh appearance on average. So it takes a little while to figure out how to play this tournament, how to play this golf course sure. In a way that works for you. So that, you know, if you're thinking about that, that's Justin Thomas. He's in his seventh appearance. So it takes a little while to figure out Augusta National, I think, for most players.
Ryan, I'm curious, not necessarily sleepers, but in terms of like under the radar contenders, guys that are right there in terms of their profile with those other top names we already talked about, but maybe their name doesn't carry the same weight. And I look at guys like, you know, Will Zalatoris, who finished second in his Masters debut last year. Russell Henley comes in having a pretty good year so far. What are some guys like that where, you know, you look at the gambling odds and they're in there with some other more notable names, but they're a little more under the radar? Anybody like that kind of catch your eye this week?
Yeah, I think three guys probably stand out. We've talked about Joaquin Niemann a little bit here. He's been having a great year.
Sure.
And there's a metric, a funnel metric. Eight of the last 10 champions have averaged 1.5 strokes per round gained off from tee to green in the 3 months leading in. He's one of those guys. A couple of other of those guys, Victor Hovland is someone that a lot of people aren't talking about because his short game, chipping game, bunker game is atrocious, but everything else is really good. So he's kind of not being talked about as much probably as he should be. And then a couple of a little more down the board, think about Matt Fitzpatrick, not a long hitter, but he gains a lot of strokes, plays well in a lot of majors, has a good finish, a couple of good finishes in the Masters. Tyrrell Hatton has really enjoyed a great year, a lot of high finishes. Most of them have been overseas, but we've seen him play well in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, a major-like setup. And then someone that's, I think, gotten a fair amount of love is Shane Lowry, who's never really had a good finish in this tournament.
Yeah, the Irishman.
But gaining a ton of strokes on the field, key to green this year, has a really good short game. And you did mention Russell Henley got off to a rough start with a double bogey, but a lot of people like because he is so steady from week to week. There's not a lot of variance in his strokes gained and the way that he performs. And he has some good finishes in this tournament, have been playing well coming in. So those are probably three, four guys I really like that are kind of a little bit more down the board.
Yeah, and then just as far as the longer shots, I mean, you know, I think it's cool seeing Justin Rose. He has an early birdie on the golf course right now. Adam Scott is on the golf course right now. So any of these veterans that you think might be able to turn back the clock? I mentioned Webb Simpson. I think he's somebody that has a pretty good history at Augusta and is a pretty rock-solid major performer. So even though he's coming in not playing well, I think he'll be somebody I'm keeping an eye on. Just anybody in terms of the longer shot type of guys that would be more of a surprise that you think might be able to hang around?
I did think about Adam Scott kind of coming into this a little bit. He seems to have kind of seen an uptick in performance at the early portion of the year. He's a guy who likes Riviera, seemed to play well enough there. He obviously won this tournament in the past. He still has a ton of ball speed. I mean, in his early 40s, he still has a ton of ball speed. He just pelted one out there 310 in the air. So he's got plenty of length to still play this golf course. He, being an Australian, probably has a lot of exposure to playing in the wind. That might suit him pretty well, given what's expected to come our way, particularly tomorrow and Saturday. I think that's who I'm kind of starting to think about from a who can win perspective, who can flight their ball, who can handle gusts, who can maybe get a little bit lucky too and avoid some of the pitfalls, particularly on 11 and 12, where you might get gusts of wind that really are out of your control and kind of determine your fate in this tournament.
All right, Ryan, let's finish where we started, and that's with Tiger Woods. What do you think in terms of the next 72 hours, if he's around for the weekend, what do you think this can do for him in terms of setting up the rest of 2022?
I don't know if he's thinking about this week as a setup for anything else. I'm not convinced he's going to play the PGA Championship. Mm. Or I know he's not going to all of a sudden say, I'm back, I'm going to play my normal schedule, I'm going to play the PGA, going to play Jack's event, US Open. I don't know if he's thinking about that far ahead. I think he's thinking, I'm going to give this my best effort and see what I can do and then see where that leaves me health-wise. We don't know what, and he doesn't know, what his recovery is going to look like after playing this tournament for either 2 or 4 days, depending on how it works out for him. So I think this is a kind of all-out sprint. He saw that his health and his game kind of lined up well enough that maybe he thinks he can contend here, put it all out on the table, see where you leave yourself, and then maybe decide what you're going to do a month from now.
We'll keep an eye on him for sure. Ryan Ballingy from Golf News Net, as he's kind enough to take a few minutes out of a busy Thursday as the Masters get started at Augusta National. Ryan, thanks a lot for your time, and we'd love to do it again one time.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Happy to do it.
All right. There he is, Ryan Ballingy on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, and more. In short, a lot of things bundled today at progressive.com.